Still not working.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this morning. We continue our special coverage of the fallout from the financial crisis. The number of workers filing new jobless claims rose last week by 15,000, more than expected. 478,000 people filed new unemployment claims. That's near a seven-year high. In the world's stock markets, the problem is corporate earnings. The Dow fell 514 points yesterday, and today Asian stock markets hit multi-year lows. Major European markets are down again to 2 to 5% this morning. All kinds of companies are reporting lower earnings. Automakers are really hurting. Billionaire Kurt Kerkorian sold off part of his stake in Ford. Chrysler and GM are talking merger, but financing that deal won't be easy. Yesterday, Michigan's congressional delegation asked the federal government to help Detroit's carmakers and lenders, which brings up that word again, bailout. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
The auto industry already got help from Washington this year in the form of $25 billion in loan guarantees. Still, in an interview with CNBC last week, Chrysler CEO Robert Nardelli was asked straight up, do the automakers need more?
Well, I mean, I think that remains to be seen. We're doing everything we know how to do.
Nardelli wouldn't comment on a possible merger with GM, but Jesse Toprak, an industry analyst at Edmunds.com, says consolidation won't get the auto industry out of its current jam.
Any kind of collaborations in the short term actually costs more money sometimes because you have to eliminate dealerships, you have to eliminate jobs. In the short term, that means a lot of cash outflow.
So is more government intervention needed? David Cole is chairman of the Center for Automotive Research. He says allowing any of the big three to fail would be far worse than propping up the industry with taxpayer dollars.
You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Cole says job losses in Detroit could cascade to dealerships and suppliers. And he says a major failure would likely lead to more than a million layoffs nationwide. Cole claims cost-cutting and the falling price of oil have put the industry on the threshold of a golden era. If only private investors weren't so scared. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Hey, what if someday those cars could run on pond scum? Today in Seattle, a group of scientists, investors, and entrepreneurs gather for the second annual Algae Biomass Summit, looking at algae as a biofuel. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports on algae's potential.
Algae is a green muck, but it can produce oil and has the potential to produce lots of it for biodiesel someday. Brian Fan at the Clean Tech Group says algae's enjoyed a huge surge in venture capital investment this year.
I think a lot of it really is a recognition that other types of biofuels have serious challenges and rely on some form of agriculture.
Which means competing with land for food. Algae, on the other hand, can be grown in open ponds or industrial-sized tanks. But experts say mass production of any biofuel is still 5 to 10 years away. Industry consultant John Sheehan.
These algae have to be able to grow at least 5 times more productively than they currently do.
Maybe that's why even the keynoter at today's summit hasn't invested in pond scum yet. But Vinod Khosla's assistant tells us the famed venture capitalist keeps looking. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bantam Books, publisher of The Snowball, Warren Buffett and the Business of Life, The Biography of a Man and His Ideas by Alice Schroeder, and by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
American International Group, AIG, has agreed to freeze $19 million in compensation for a former chief executive and $600 million for other execs. The U.S. government, as you know, bailed out AIG. New York's attorney general has demanded the company stop extravagant spending and recover millions of dollars in unreasonable payments or face legal action. As part of the AIG takeover, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson brought in an old friend, Ed Liddy, former chairman of Allstate Insurance, to help right the ship.
The boss will see you now.
Today on Conversations from the Corner Office, Marketplace's Kai Ryssdal talks with Ed Liddy about the challenge of rescuing AIG and having U.S. taxpayers as his new boss.
Is there a chance that AIG might still fail after all of this?
You know, never is a big word. I think we've got it well in hand. The federal government's idea was to help AIG emerge from this crisis in an orderly way. And I think we're doing exactly that. So thanks to the life preserver that they've thrown us, I think we've made good progress. And I think the chances are very, very remote.
What's your sense of obligation then to the group of people who are now your biggest shareholder, the American taxpayer?
Well, I want to repay them. We, the people of AIG, we want to repay them every single penny that we have to borrow. We want to repay them their interest. And then in the current structure coming out of this, the government will own 80% of the company. Whether that continues going forward or not, I don't know. I think the government approach to financial companies in distress, if you look at it, it certainly has evolved over time from when Fannie and Freddie first got in trouble to what they've done for the bank. So whether we're able to participate in some of the more contemporary versions of what they've done to save companies or not remains to be seen.
How long is it going to take before AIG is a completely healthy, functioning company?
You know, I would think by the end of next year. The assets that we have to sell, we'd like to sell sooner rather than later. And I think we can make real progress paying down that debt early in mid part of next year or so. So I think by the end of 2009, you'll see AIG emerge as a different entity, but a very healthy entity.
Where's the culpability here for this mess that we find ourselves in? Because people out there want to blame somebody.
Yeah, you know, I'm not about looking backwards. I am all about the future and trying to solve the problem. There'll come a point in time when probably others smarter than me can begin to answer that question. Right now, all of my energies go towards the future, towards seizing the future for this company and our employees.
Ed Liddy, the CEO of AIG. Mr. Liddy, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow will open at 8,519. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.